Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and our guest, Father Sebastian Walsh, as promised. Father is a Norbertine priest from St. Michael's Abbey in Orange County, the author of a couple books for us here at Catholic Answers, and the newest one is called, and it's just coming out right now, as a matter of fact, Always a Catholic, How to Keep Your Kids in the Faith for Life and Bring Them Back If They Strayed. Father Sebastian Walsh, thank you for being with us.
Well, it's my pleasure, Cy. Good to be with you again.
You assert in here that the best thing that could happen is you're introduced to the Catholic faith as a child and you stay a Catholic. You don't wander away, as seems to be the habit of us contemporary Catholics.
Yeah, that's we don't all need to have a prodigal son story. Lord Jesus would probably, I often say, you know, all things being equal, better be on the Mary of Nazareth plan than the Mary Magdalene plan.
But we should,
one way or another, the important thing is where we end up, not where we begin, not where we are in the middle, but where we end. And that's firmly in Christ's arms.
I want to give out the number 888-318-7884 if you want to talk about keeping your kids in the faith. 888-318-7884. I have to say, though, Father, the most common prayer request at Catholic radio stations, you know, like you'll have Catholic radio stations, tell us what we can pray for.
Yes.
Time and time again, I hear from the stations, people say, my children have left the faith. Will you pray for them? That's
yes.
The most common prayer.
Yes. By far, and I can validate that, I was about to say, as a priest, by far the most common question I ever get. So, for example, before COVID hit, once a month at the parish that I help out at, Our Lady of Fatima down in San Clemente, once a month I would have a question and answer period after Mass. And I would just basically allow that, you know, whoever the faithful want to come, they could just ask any questions about the Catholic faith. Sometimes I'd have a little, you know, a topic I'd talk about and then open up to questions, but mostly just questions. And the number one question was, how do I keep my kids Catholic and how do I help them come back? And it was as a result of that experience of, you know, having so many times heard that question that I thought, well, I should sit down and write something about this. And what happened was that I gave a talk about this. In fact, I gave that talk a few places, and at one of those places, there was another apologist from Catholic Answers that was there. It was Carlo Broussard. And he said, Father, you should write a book on this. So that's what happened. That's the origin of this book. Just basically the advice that I could, the best advice I could give to parents to help keep their kids Catholic and help them come back if they've strayed.
888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Okay, so part one of the book, Keeping Your Kids Catholic. Part two of the book, Helping Them Return to the Faith. In part one, you start by saying, make happiness the reason. What does that mean?
Well, when it comes down to it, the reason why, just the human psychology, this is all human beings and all intelligent beings, the reason why they choose anything is because they want to be happy. The happiness is kind of the ultimate reason. It's the greatest good that we're aiming for. And because of that, if your children think that being Catholic will help them be happy, they will stay Catholic. If your children, for whatever reason, believe that being Catholic will not help them, but in fact will be opposed to their happiness, then they won't stay Catholic. It's that simple. In some sense, if I had to summarize the entire book, it's helping your kids see the connection between their happiness and their Catholic faith. If they don't see that connection, and if they think there's an opposition there, they will certainly leave the Catholic faith. No one wants to be unhappy for their whole life or for eternity. And on the other hand, if they see that there's a connection between happiness and the practice of their Catholic faith, they will always stay Catholic because everyone wants to be happy. So that's a fundamental seed or, you know, premise of the whole book.
888-318-7884. We're talking with Father Sebastian Walsh. His brand new book from Catholic Answers, Always a Catholic, How to Keep Your Kids in the Faith for Life and Bring Them Back If They Have Strayed, available now at, from Catholic Answers. Again, the number 888-318-7884. Have you seen in your own ministry as a priest parents who have done a good job of this, where you thought the parent has communicated to the child that the key to happiness is their Catholic faith?
Absolutely. And I've seen not just one, not just dozens, but hundreds of Catholic families where they've been able to successfully do that. And that's why I feel I have a lot of confidence about the advice that I'm giving in the book. It's not just based on my own private experience. It's based upon the successful experience of many, many Catholic families. And while not everyone does everything the same, most of those Catholic families do most of what I recommend in my book. That's they have some common themes in there. And then what you find is that when you do those things, and when a child is convinced that being Catholic will help them to be happy, then you find the children, they stay. Now, that being said, I want to give a little caveat.
Okay.
Because one thing that parents forget is that God gave their children free will. And at the very beginning, the very first, it's not even the first chapter, it's kind of a prologue that I give to the book. The title of it is The Dangers of Having Kids. Having children is a risk. And what I'm not going to do is give you a full guarantee that if you do everything right, then you will absolutely control your children like robots and their free will no longer be operative, right? That's not what I promise. And frankly, that's not what God wants. You know, God wants for each of us to freely choose him. And for everyone, that involves a risk. That involves a certain kind of a danger. When we have freedom, that's a possibility. Jesus did everything perfectly, and yet he still lost one of his apostles. That's pretty good. You know, 11 out of 12, but nevertheless, there's no guarantee that if you do everything right, that your children will automatically always stay Catholic. We'd like to think so. We'd like to be able to control the outcome of our children, but let's face it, we can barely control our own choices and actions, much less controlling others. So what I'm giving is advice that basically takes away all the obstacles to their happiness. I don't want parents to do something that will unwittingly make their children reject the Catholic faith. And at the same time, I want the parents to give the children every reason to want to freely choose and stay Catholic. So that's the thrust of the advice I give as far as the general principle.
So what might be a common thing that parents do that put an obstacle up for the children embracing the faith?
There are a few things. There's a lot of things, in fact, but I'll mention a couple of things. First of all, if you have in a family a husband and a father, a husband and wife, I'm sorry, if you have a husband and a wife where one of them is more devoutly Catholic than the other, it's rare that you have parents where both of them are the same kind of level of devotion, same practice of the faith. Okay, mm-hmm. You can have one where the husband or the wife is very, very Catholic, and the wife is, is not Catholic, or vice versa. You can have cases where they're both Catholic, but one is very devoutly so, and the other one mediocrely so, whatever. What happens unwittingly very often is that the Catholic spouse, the one who's more devoutly Catholic, is constantly telling the children, don't be like your father, or don't be like your mother, and the children are always seeing the Catholic faith as a reason why their parents are arguing. And they see the Catholic faith as a wedge between their parents. Now, when kids see that, they think to themselves, it's the last thing in the world I want. I don't want a religion or a faith that drives a wedge between families, that destroys families. And so unwittingly, the one who's more Catholic, because they're constantly, they're afraid, they're dominated by fear that the other spouse is going to badly influence the children. So they tell the children, don't be like that other one. Don't listen to them. They're constantly unwittingly giving all this advice that the children interpret as the Catholic faith means mom and dad argue and they don't like each other. So there is a simple example where many, many Catholic families unwittingly put an obstacle to the faith of their children. There's one, for example.
Always a Catholic, How to Keep Your Kids in the Faith for Life and Bring Them Back If They Strayed is the new book here at Catholic Answers from our guest, Father Sebastian Walsh, a Norbertine priest from St. Michael's Abbey in Orange County and a good friend here to all of us at Catholic Answers. And they're already lining up to ask questions, but there are a couple lines open if you have a question about keeping your kids in the faith. 888-318-7884. Quick break, right back with your questions for Father Sebastian Walsh.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Cy. Our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus, is now available twice a week. This week, we've got John Bergsma explaining how the Dead Sea Scrolls can shed light on the Gospels, and then Jimmy Akin on how the Holy Spirit leads the church. Catholic Answers Focus, it's not just for breakfast anymore. Available wherever you get your podcasts or watch it on YouTube or just visit us at CatholicAnswersFocus.com.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is HomeschoolConnections.com.
EWTN is now on Twitter. Get short, timely messages from EWTN on your computer or cell phone. It's easy to stay up to date on a wide variety of topics. Pro-life news, Vatican announcements, catechesis, apologetics, the latest EWTN programming, and more. You can link to EWTN on Twitter from our homepage or go to twitter.com/EWTN. At work, at home, at school, and on the road, stay connected to your world with EWTN's Twitter page.
Always a Catholic, How to Keep Your Kids in the Faith for Life and Bring Them Back If They Have Strayed. It's the brand new book from Father Sebastian Walsh. And if you'd like to talk about keeping your kids Catholic, 888-318-7884. Lots of folks on the line. We are going to go to the calls, 888-318-7884, if you want to get in the last two lines. But Father, before we do, you have a chapter in your book. Don't Let Catholic Schools Steal Their Faith. You want to say something about why you got a chapter like that in your book?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the number one things that I hear from parents when they tell me that their kids have left the faith, they tell me things like this: Father, I sent my child to 12 or even 16 years of Catholic education, and I paid for it, you know, because Catholic education is usually not free. And yet my children left the faith after all that. And the truth of the matter is that most Catholic parents in the United States are victims of false advertising. So many schools, high schools, colleges, even grade schools today, sadly, but so many schools call themselves Catholic when they're nothing of the sort. In fact, they're often places where anti-Catholic propaganda end up being taught to children. And there's nothing like a formerly Catholic school that knows how to attack the Catholic faith. You know, a completely secular school, in some sense, they don't know the Catholic faith well enough to undermine all the elements of the faith. But a school that was Catholic, that's run by sort of people who are false Catholics, they know exactly how to undermine all the elements of the faith. And so you often get that kind of a result. And that's something that the entire Catholic educational system has suffered from in the United States for decades. And it started even in the 40s and 50s at the kind of flagship educational institutions. And it culminated in I think it was 1967, they had the Land O'Lakes Statement, where the premier Catholic universities in the country basically signed on to an anti-Catholic, anti-church educational philosophy. And from that point on, it was kind of a trickle down into the high schools and even into the grade schools. So you really have to know if there was, you know, one single thing, one single factor that's the greatest danger to your children's faith, it's sending them to a school that says they're Catholic when in fact they're not.
Again, 888-318-7884, the number. I'm glad to hear you say that boldly and courageously, Father, because I have been of the mind for some time that we all know now that there was a crisis of Catholic bishops' leadership because we had to suffer the consequences of it. And I have been of the mind that we have a crisis nobody wants to talk about now, which is of Catholic school principals. And that if you have principals of Catholic schools who don't believe and hold what the church believes and holds, you're going to end up with a school that's not Catholic. And it seems to me, why don't we learn our lesson? It turned out there was a serious problem with bishops. It needed to be dealt with openly and honestly. And if many of these school principals, if you ask them, they'll tell you that they don't believe and they should not be in the position that they're in.
That's right. No, it's true. And the funny thing is that it's not like they're hiding the fact that they've departed from church teaching. What they do instead is they say, we're moving the church in a new direction.
Right.
Yeah. Right. The only thing they keep is the name Catholic. It's a little bit like, Cardinal McCarrick kept the name bishop, but he was, and shepherd and father. He was none of those things in reality. He kept the name. Right.
Right.
And in the same way, many Catholic schools and Catholic principals, they say they're Catholic, but then you hear them talk and they're all about moving the church in a new direction and making sure the church is updated and caught up with the world and whatever. As soon as you hear people talking about moving the church in a new direction and updating the church and, progressively, bringing about, new visions in the church, all those sort of things. Well, what about Jesus and his apostles?
Right. Yeah.
We're interested in what Jesus taught. Not what, the latest, television show is teaching us. So anyway, that's a sure sign. And yet, as I said, they're not hiding anymore. They don't need to hide anymore because the culture is so much inundated with this idea that the Catholic Church's traditional teachings need to be updated, that Jesus didn't really say those things, or if he did say those things, he shouldn't have said those things, and whatever. People are so used to the idea that anything old is bad and whatever is new is better, and so they don't even think they need to hide anymore. At least in the 50s and 60s, they thought they had to hide the fact that they were trying to change church teaching, but now they speak very openly.
888-318-7884, our number. The book is called Always a Catholic, How to Keep Your Kids in the Faith for Life and Bring Them Back if they've Strayed. The author is Father Sebastian Walsh. He is our guest, and we start with Mark in Kentucky, listening on 740 AM Sacred Heart Radio. Mark, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Father Walsh.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me on. I have two children.
Sure.
One has left to become Methodist, and another has become atheist and believes that Jesus never existed. Both were educated through high school at Catholic high schools and elementary schools.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
I've shared personal stories with my atheist child. I said, so, heavily caught up in the internet atheism stuff. And I said, so do you think what these people say, that mom and I are literally lying to you? And the answer was, well, I just don't think you realize you're lying to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just any atheist cartoon, especially I think the guy's name is Spencer. He says the Gospels were myths and Jesus was never a physical person. It was all dreams and stuff. Mm-hmm. Heavily follows that person. So,
Father, what do you say to them?
Well, there's a lot of ways to deal with that particular problem. Now, from the standpoint of just the basic things about whether or not Jesus really existed, there's so much historical evidence that's even extra biblical from contemporaries of Jesus in the first century. For example, Tacitus, in his famous Annals of Imperial Rome, he specifically mentions Jesus in that text there, one of the most famous works of pagan history. Josephus, who was a famous Roman historian, who covered the Roman destruction and sack of Jerusalem, very specifically spoke about Christ there. So there's a lot of very well-documented, extra-biblical, non-Christian indications of the existence of Jesus. So that might be the first thing, just to point out the historical evidence that that your son may not even be aware of. So that's one thing. But when it comes to the larger question about atheism, you know, atheism has a double cause. The first cause is ignorance, that is, the inability to see the forceful arguments for the existence of God. There are forceful arguments that don't come from the Bible. They come from our human experience of things. You can point out to your son that pagan philosophers such as Aristotle and Plato thought you could know with certitude the existence of a God, one God, you know, who created everything. And there's a really good book that a friend of mine wrote, Michael Ogros. I think he's been on the show there. He wrote a book called Who Designed the Designer, which is an excellent defense of theism against atheism. So I can recommend that book with regard to that. But that just deals with the ignorance part. And the more fundamental cause of atheism is a certain lack of hope. There's somewhere in the soul, there's a sense of rejection. There's a sense that they don't see their father in the right light. And so one of the things you might want to go back to and just revisit is, where, at what point did your son's relationship with you start to break down? And did you notice, you know, any causes? One of the first things I look to is I look to the relationship between the mom and the dad, and the relationship between the parents and the children. You might be able to find some clues to where your son lost the desire to believe in God, right? Because if you don't want to believe in God, you'll see the reasons, you'll think you see reasons why it doesn't exist. Whereas if you want to believe in God, you'll see the reasons that do point to his existence. So is there anything like that you can think of, like in his, at some point in his formation, where you notice like this is the point when he started, the relationship started breaking down?
Mark?
Well, I don't know that there is anything like that exactly. That child is also transgender, so until 22 years of age. So I mean that.
There's an example there. If they, obviously, if they have that kind of moral sense that they're a mistake, their body's a mistake, well, then obviously they're going to have a hard time believing that God made their body the way it was supposed to be. So, yeah, I would say that probably in that child's case, that his more fundamental problem has to do with being able to accept himself. And without getting too much in the details of helping with transgenderism, there's a really good book, When Harry Became Sally by, what is his name? Ryan Anderson? Is that his name, author of that book?
I can't remember. Let me look it up, but okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's Ryan Anderson, When Harry Became Sally. And it's a really good book to kind of help parents understand the phenomena of transgenderism. And there's also, there was also a really good website by a man who had undergone a surgery and then later on regretted. And I think it was called something like sex change regret or something like that. His name was Walt and his last name is escaping me right now, but those are resources you can get to kind of address that issue first. So without getting too much in the details of that, I can tell you this much, that if you can help the child overcome his rejection of his own identity, then you're going to go a long way to helping him return to a belief in God. That's, in my mind, that's the main root of the problem there.
Was Walt Hayer, was that the website?
Yes, that's it.
Okay, and Ryan Anderson was the author of When Harry Became Sally. Mark, thanks for the call. I hope that was helpful to you. 888-318-7884. For those of us parents who have to confront the loss of faith in a child or a child who asserts a loss of faith, it is painful. And so you end up, when you talk about this topic, feeling a lot of pain, a lot of hurt.
Absolutely. Yeah, and one of the things that I often remind parents when, specifically with regard to transgender children that have gender dysphoria and they feel like they're a mistake, is to keep on reaffirming to them, you're not a mistake. You're not a mistake.
Yeah.
I read a study in specifically about that that said the vast majority of transgender children, what happened was that there was a formative moment in their very early youth when they felt like they were going to lose the parent of the opposite sex. And as a result, they tried to internalize, you know, that opposite sex in themselves. It's a fascinating study, but I don't want to speculate too much on that. I'm just realizing there are complicated causes of something like that. And those are kind of, again, those are kind of first world problems. I actually have a part of a chapter in my book that deals with, among other things, transgenderism. And one of the things I recommend is you got to keep your kids away from the internet. If there's one thing that fans the flame of that mistaken identity, it's just the constant looking into the internet and the artificial world.
888-318-7884, a number I love that you call it, the artificial world. Always a Catholic. How to keep your kids in the faith for life and bring them back if they have strayed. Sebastian Walsh, Father Sebastian Walsh, the author, is our guest. 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live. We're here for you.
If you spend any time on Twitter, Facebook, or mainstream media, you're probably familiar with the litany of slogans that skeptics employ to rescue you from the foolish belief that God exists. The constant onslaught seems to leave people with the idea that they have no alternative but to embrace atheism. How can a Christian respond? In One Less God Than You, John DeRosa breaks down 20 of the most common atheist challenges and shows you how to craft effective answers. Atheism is more aggressive and widespread than ever. Read One Less God Than You and prepare yourself to respond with the joyful truth that God is real. To get your copy of One Less God Than You, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
To many people, even many Christians, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the church to make salvation complicated and keep people in fear. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. The Bible supports it, Christians have historically believed in it, and it makes theological sense. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I provide the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a joyful, hopeful reality, not something shadowy and mysterious, but a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. The book is called Always a Catholic, How to Keep Your Kids in the Faith for Life and Bring Them Back When They Have Strayed, or If They Have Strayed. Sebastian Walsh, Norbertine priest at St. Michael's Abbey, is the author of the book, and a bunch of folks on the line, 888-318-7884 is the number. Let's go to Mary Ann in Idaho, listening on Salt and Light Radio. Mary Ann, go ahead with your question for Father Sebastian Walsh.
Hi, Father, and thank you.
Welcome,
I have
Marianne.
A 17-year-old granddaughter who yesterday she has chosen not to make her confirmation, does not believe the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist or confession. And this has been going on for quite some time. Mom and Dad are very strong Catholics. And yesterday the priest called them in for a meeting and told her... he teaches the class, the confirmation class, that she probably shouldn't receive communion anymore or come to Mass. He's very old-fashioned, does a lot of Latin Masses, does do Mass with his back. I mean, he's just sitting that way, but he is a very good priest. She feels it's very boring, and now she's being shunned, and it's just her dad, I know that there's a lot of embarrassment and that. How do we love her through this?
Yes, that's a great question. Okay, so on the one hand, I since I don't know all the details of what would happen between, you know, this girl at the class and the priest, I would, you know, let's just take the priest's word for it that she doesn't have faith in the Eucharist, and she's expressed that clearly. Well, then obviously it's clear she shouldn't be confirmed and she shouldn't go to communion at a time like that, because it would be a sacrilege for her, you know, to do that, and it would be dishonest for her to do that. So presumably that's the right thing to do. I'm assuming that the priest is accurate in his assessment there. And how should a parent respond to that, or even the priest in a case like that? Well, the first thing you say is, well, fine, you know, faith is a gift. I understand that. If you don't believe in the Eucharist, I understand. I'm not faulting you for that right now. It's, you know, faith is a gift, and, you know, you can't just decide to have that gift. It comes from God. So the right thing to do in good conscience is not to go on with your confirmation and to abstain from the Eucharist. Now, I probably wouldn't have told her not to come to Mass, because there's nothing wrong with just being present at Mass or something like that, and she doesn't want to feel like she can't be together with her family. And I don't know what's behind that. I don't know if she decided to make some sort of, you know, physical outward demonstration at Mass or something. I don't know. I doubt it. But I would never tell someone, unless they were actually being distracting at Mass, I wouldn't tell them that they shouldn't go to Mass. But you don't, at the same time, you don't castigate them for not believing. You're like, okay, well, you don't have the gift. That's okay. So let's see what we can do. Can we get to a point where at least we're open-minded and we say, is this possible by God's power to do something like that? And then you can start exposing her or start showing her all the different beautiful Eucharistic miracles and the scientific evidence behind those. There have been a number of them that have happened in the last 20 years that are very accessible and very interesting, the Eucharistic miracles. There's some really good books on the Eucharist and scriptures and how the early church saw the Eucharist, and even the early Protestant reformers. I mean, Martin Luther thought that it was truly Christ's body and blood. Now, he had some confusing ideas about it too, but even the early Protestants had that belief, and it was universal throughout the whole church until the 10th century, there was no one who really seriously denied the real presence. So you can inform her and kind of give her that kind of an education as well. But again, I always say you got to look for what's the cause in the will there, not just sort of is she being misinformed, but what's her deeper reason for not wanting to believe. And again, there's certain things you have to look in at that first question. What is it about being Catholic that makes you unhappy, right? That's the kind of question you want to ask her. What is it that makes you unhappy? Is there something about her relationship with her parents? Is there something about the relationship of the parents with one another that that she sees there's something wrong there? Those are the kinds of questions that you want to ask to just see if she can open her heart and she can express why it is that she feels unhappy as a Catholic. And if the answer is just because I think it's not true, well, then you can help her with seeing the truth of it by the means I told you. But if the answer is something like, well, you know, I feel like I'm not loved by my family, well, then that needs to be addressed too. So it's important to start a conversation with her and ask her, without any accusation, without saying you're a bad person, without telling her you're going to go to hell if you don't change your mind about this, just say, what is it that makes you not want to believe? This is a question. That's a different question. Not why don't you believe, but what is it that makes you not want to believe? And maybe that can open up her heart to start talking about things. And it's important to just let her have her say and not attack her positions, but to listen to them and then to respond to them patiently and see that it's not just about what's going on in her head, it's also about what's going on in her heart.
Okay. Does that make sense, Marianne?
Absolutely. I appreciate it so much.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, and God bless you.
You too.
The book is called Always a Catholic, How to Keep Your Kids in the Faith for Life and Bring Them Back If They Have Strayed. The author is Father Sebastian Walsh. Lots of folks on the line, so I want to continue to just keep going to the phone. Let's go to Seattle. Kevin in Seattle, listening on 1050 AM. You are up next. Go ahead with your question for Father Sebastian Walsh.
Well, hello, fellows, and thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I don't have so much as a question, just as a brief experience. My son just turned 21. I've gone to the same Catholic church for over a decade and been involved with it in varying aspects. I would say that out of the five, he's always invited to go with me to church. His mother was raised Catholic. I am a convert. She does not go to church. I do. There's never been, he's never witnessed any kind of me talking down about her choices. In fact, he's been privy to discussions that we've had over the dinner table into why she feels the way she does, which she isn't able to really elaborate. She always just says, I have questions, and we kind of have to leave it there. But out of the, I would say out of five times that I would go to Mass pre-pandemic, my son would come with me about one of those times. It was never kicking and dragging, but it was always like, you know, Dad, I don't want to go every time, but I'll go.
Okay.
After thinking about this for years on why he would go with me sometimes and usually didn't have a lot of questions after each Mass, I came to the conclusion that he comes to Mass with me because he loves me. He loves me. And he's trying to find out what Dad loves and why do I feel the way I do about God and about my faith. And he probably has even more interesting questions going on at times because of the way his mom feels. She never says anything bad about the church. But I will say this, Father Walsh, it is also a fact that I believe that healthy communities yield healthy human beings. So if the children, I've asked him several times too, I've said, son, why don't you look about attending one of the youth groups? And he'd always decline. And I'd be like, well, maybe he's just shy or this, that, or the other. But over time, I just don't think he saw anything there he was attracted to.
You know, Kevin, I'm going to let Father respond because we'd like to hear what Father has to say about this. But so this seems both. I mean, Kevin's point seems to be that love is involved. If you don't see a community that you would be interested in, you won't want that community. But if you love your father, you want to know what his faith is about.
Yeah, let me say something about that, that what's really important there is I think one of the best things that you can do for your son is you can help him see the connection between your being a Catholic and your loving and supporting his mom. So be very clear about, like, you know, the Catholic faith doesn't teach that if my wife is unbelieving, I should throw her away or I should treat her less. And you obviously haven't been doing that with your actions. But it might be a good idea to even say it with your words. The Catholic faith says that the believing husband sanctifies the unbelieving wife, and that my Catholic faith tells me and is a reason and has been for me a reason for loving and sacrificing for your mom the way Christ loved and sacrificed his life for the church. And if your son hears that, like, wow, the reason why Dad is making those sacrifices and is being such a good husband to mom, the reason is actually his Catholic faith. And he hears that, like, oh, I thought that was just something you did because you wanted to, but now I realize that you want to precisely because of your Catholic faith. That will strengthen his desire to be interested, to seek, kind of, okay, that's the faith I want because it's a faith that makes mom and dad close to each other. So that's one thing I can recommend with in your son's case. And the other thing, and it sounds like you're doing well, is not to, you know, to tell your son, like, oh, you're going to be a horrible person and you better come to Mass with me or anything like that. But rather to say, look, I find my strength. I find my solace. I find hope for happiness and eternal life. I don't know how I could live happily without being a Catholic. And if you ever want to talk about that, then I'm open to it. And I can't answer all your questions, but at least I can point you in a direction for answering other questions, you know? So those are a few things to do. And finally, you know, as you grow older, everyone grows older, they start thinking about eternity more, and they realize, well, this life isn't all there is. And they realize, I need to know something about the next life before I die. And young people often don't think that way. They think they can just put that off. But as you grow older, you realize, no, I need to find out the answers to these questions now. And that's another thing that you can tell your son or sort of share with your son, how your Catholic faith prepares you for the next life and gives you the hope that you need in order to face, you know, death and the next life with a sense of joy and hopeful expectation.
Always a Catholic, how to keep your kids in the faith for life and bring them back if they have strayed is the name of the book. Kevin, thanks so much for that call. There are lots more callers on the line and we have to go to a break. But before we go to the break, let me tell you, Always a Catholic, you can pre-order right now. If you pre-order right now at shop.catholic.com, you save 25% when you use the promo code ALWAYS. So just use the first name of the title, Always a Catholic, and get 25% off. Or you can get 5 copies for just $40. That's 50% off. Go to shop.catholic.com right now and pre-order your copy of Always a Catholic, How to Keep Your Kids in the Faith for Life and Bring Them Back If They Have Strayed. 25% off individual copies if you use the promo code ALWAYS. 5 copies for $40 right now at shop.catholic.com.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Do you want to end abortion? Halt the attack on traditional marriage and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I went to Las Vegas years and years ago for one of these cable shows. And I was shocked to see all these old ladies in their 70s and 80s getting off that plane, running for a slot machine. You don't have a chance to win. They're all fixed. I know, my uncle used to have slot machines.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. We're talking about how to keep your kids in the faith this hour with Father Sebastian Walsh, our guest, who has a brand new book called Always a Catholic, How to Keep Your Kids in the Faith for Life and Bring Them Back If They Have Strayed. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. John in Denver, Colorado, listening on 1060 AM. You are next, John. Go ahead with your question for Father Sebastian Walsh.
Hello, Father. I have four children, all of them atheists, two went to Catholic high schools, and in your book, you know, everybody has a world view, you know, and all these religions sound great because there's millions of people that join the Jehovah Witnesses, Mormons, and they sound good, everything, but this is the thing, why is the Catholic faith true and all of those are false? The only reason why I'm a Catholic is because it's the only church that has all these miracles. Fatima, Padre Pio, Teresa Neumann, Eucharistic miracles. You know, I say, I don't believe in the Catholic Church anymore. I know it's the true church, and I know I'm going to go to heaven or hell at the end of my life. You know what I mean? Because of those miracles. You know, and my kids, they're all atheists. You prove in your church, that in your book, that this Catholic Church is a true church, and all the others are false.
Okay, let's leave it there. That's a good question, John. Go ahead,
sure.
Father.
I do address that a little bit. There's the obvious and external evidences for the truth of the Catholic faith. The book isn't specifically or primarily about that, but it does have a section about that. And there are traditionally three different sources
of evidence for the truth of the Catholic faith. The first source, as you say, is miracles, because that shows that there is a divine power at work beyond the power of nature. And so obviously some of the miracles you referred to, and many, many, many more, every single canonized saint, you know, in the last, you know, several hundred years had at least two miracles that were verified, you know, for their case. And I know many people who have experienced miracles firsthand. So there's one. Another is prophecy. You see that there's prophecy in the Catholic Church, not only in the scripture, in the Old and the New Testament, but even among the saints, there are many prophets. And that's another piece of evidence that you can show their clear and distinct prophecies about improbable future events. And then finally, the third is the unity and wisdom of the teaching of the Catholic Church. Other religions, they end up saying something that contradicts what you can know for a fact by reason. And the Catholic faith not only doesn't contradict what you can know by reason and science, on the other hand, it actually gives deeper and more profound answers to the questions that philosophy and science raise. So, for example, you know, the question about what exists after this life, you know, Aristotle as a philosopher was able to prove the human soul will continue to exist after death, but then he didn't know what happens next. And the faith answers those kind of fundamental questions that that just human reason unaided by faith can't answer. So those are the three primary sources that give evidence that the Catholic faith and the Catholic faith alone is a true faith. And our faith is rooted not in myth, but in real historical events with real historical witnesses. And when you read the Gospels, they don't look like propaganda pieces. The Gospels, they talk about things like they didn't recognize Jesus when he rose from the dead. That's not a propaganda piece. They said that because that's what they experienced. So those are the traditional sources, and some of that is in my book, but that's not the primary reason to buy my book. The primary reason that I wrote the book was to connect your children's sense of their happiness with the practice of their faith. Now, one reason they think they'll be happy is if it's true, right? If they think it's false, obviously they're not going to think it'll contribute to their happiness. So that's why I have a part arguing about the truth of the Catholic faith. So that's one thing I do in my book. That's true.
John, thank you. Still got folks on the line and not much time, so I'm going to keep moving. Our guest is Father Sebastian Walsh. His brand new book, available for pre-order now at shop.catholic.com. Always a Catholic, How to Keep Your Kids in the Faith for Life and Bring Them Back If They Have Strayed. 888-318-7884, our number here. Up next, Sharon in Indianapolis, listening on Catholic Radio Indy. Glad to have you, Sharon. Go ahead with your question for Father Walsh.
Thank you. I'm not a mom, but I'm a godmother. And so yes. I'm thinking about how getting my godchildren back to church. They were baptized when they were 8 and 11, and parents mm-hmm. had gotten divorced by that time. And so they were very excited. They had a wonderful person to prepare them for baptism. I mean, they were singing, and the boy danced after he was baptized. He was on the altar like, I've been baptized. They were so excited. Mm-hmm. They would go to church with mom. And then they went to college, and I, for their baptismal anniversaries, I've done every year, I send them something that's either, it's been like if I've been on a pilgrimage, I'll send them something from there. I would, and they always would, you know, let me know, oh, I, you know, thank you, I really like that. And, or, you know, holy cards about people, or our family is Black, so I maybe send them something about Augustus Tolton or whatever. But they just don't go anymore. And they're now mm-hmm. 30 and 26.
Let's let Father respond. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead, Father.
Yeah, so it sounds like that they left off the practice of their faith when they went to college. Is that right? Does that sound, is that what you're saying to me?
Yeah. So
that's probably the key place to look as far as like, where did they lose their faith? They were probably taught false things at wherever they went to college. So it's going to be important for you to help them have resources so that they can see like, hey, here are the answers to those questions that I mistakenly thought were errors in the Catholic Church. Huh? So now, and again, I can't, it's hard to say because there's often problems at the level of their mind and often problems at the level of their heart. But let's start with that. I mean, one of the things you can do is you can give them some educational materials, you know, that respond to many of the objections, many of the objections that modern people have that you'd get in college to the truth of the Catholic faith. So one thing you can do is you can just talk to them and say, you know, as your godmother, I'm interested in you, and I remember how grateful you were and how happy you were to be baptized. And I want to know, I just want to have an honest conversation. Are you willing as an adult to just to speak with me about and just say, why did you leave the practice of the Catholic faith? And is it something more in your heart? Is it something more in your mind that you were convinced that it's false? So find out what the cause is and don't be embarrassed to ask. You're their godmother, and therefore you have the right to ask those questions. And don't, you know, don't ask it in an accusing way, just like, I want to help you and see if I can help you return to that joy that you had when you were baptized. And once you find out, you know, they'll probably have several reasons that they can give you why they left the Catholic faith. Once you find out if it's primarily, well, I think the Catholic Church is a source of injustice because they don't support homosexuality or something like that. Well, then, okay, now we can get them a resource. We can say, okay, here's why the Catholic Church teaches this, and maybe you hadn't thought about that. Or maybe the reason is because they were very disappointed about the abuse scandal with the priests, and they thought, well, we thought the Catholic Church said all priests were holy, but now I found out they're not. And so you have to find out what it is that's caused them to leave. And once you know that, now you're in a better position to respond. So it starts by having that conversation and doing it in such a way that they don't feel threatened by you asking the questions. And you're just start off by asking questions without sort of, you know, giving a lot of responses. And then once you know, then you can come back to Catholic Answers and we'll be able to give you resources that'll help answer those questions.
Okay, Sharon?
Okay.
Okay, thank you so much.
Hey, Sharon,
you're very welcome.
If you could hang on for just a quick second, I just want to tell you something. I was so glad you mentioned Father Augustus Tolton. We did an entire episode on him on January 6th of this year. So if you want to go back and listen to that, or maybe they do, you know, if they're interested in Father Tolton. And we did the title of the episode was Future African-American Saints. And, you know, Augustus Tolton is in there. I know that, Pierre Toussaint and some others. So you might check it out. And maybe they would enjoy that episode. 888-318-7884. Dottie in Pennsylvania watching on YouTube. You're next, Dottie. Go ahead with your question. And I just realized we don't have much time. So just real quick with the question. Go ahead,
Dottie.
Hello,
Father.
Hi, Dottie.
I'm new to the show. I just happened to flip through to YouTube. I'm not real good at tech, so I just shut it all down because they scared me when they said, you won't be on. And I really want to be on. I was born in 65, right at the turn of the Vatican II change. I know nothing of Vatican I or barely anything Vatican II. I just went along with it. I was raised Catholic, and I love my faith. And I went to Catholic school. I had three children. And one's wishy-washy, one's okay with the faith, and the other one quit the faith. So I'm right there with all these callers. And I just want to say, like, I finally woke up to what's been going on around the world and within the church.
Yes.
And I just want to know if you want to contribute any of that to modernism.
Okay, thank you, Dottie. Do you attribute
Great
any
question.
Of it to modernism?
Oh, yeah. Funny, because I just did a podcast a couple days ago on modernism. Yes, I do think that modernism is one of the huge problems in the church. I don't think it's the only problem. Like I said, the problems are twofold. They come from the mind and from the heart. And one of the things is I want to make sure I say this before we finish the show. God loves your children more than you do. Okay? So when all's said and done, you know, the most effective thing you can do in order to bring your kids back to the Catholic faith is to pray and to shed tears before God, like St. Monica did for St. Augustine, and ask the Lord to help your kids. I knew a woman who was baptized when she was 100 years old. And when she was baptized, she revealed that her mother had been a Catholic and the father an atheist and forbade them from practicing the faith. But all of her children eventually ended up, and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, ended up Catholic by God's grace. And that can happen for your kids, too.
Dottie, thanks. You just discovered us on February 1st. Check YouTube for Catholic Answers Focus, and you'll see the episode on modernism that we just recorded with Father. So thanks for letting me do that ad, Catholic Answers Focus. Father, may we have your blessing before we go?
Absolutely. Per intercessionem Beata Maria Virginis et omnem sanctorum, benedicta Dei omnipotentis Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendat super vos, et mania semper.
Amen. Father Sebastian Walsh is the author of the brand new book, Always a Catholic, about keeping your kids Catholic, available now from Catholic Answers Press. Thank you, Father. I just enjoyed the hour.
Thanks so much. Me too, Si. God bless you.
See you tomorrow, God willing, right here.